the connection about being a child of God, and within that song, it makes this connection really to do with what I'm going to call liberty, spaciousness, if you like, freedom. Peter was praying about it, liberty. And this, we find that by being a child of God, if you like, by definition, that is increasing spaciousness and emancipation in our lives in relation to him and who he is. He's always bigger and he's always taking us on into more of himself. And what I'm discovering, and I'm sure that you are, is that is an increasing place of spaciousness and beauty and joy in knowing God. And if that's not your story, let's have a chat, because it should be, honestly. He is wonderful, and he takes us on with himself, and it's a wonderful ongoing discovery and journey. So, what I'm going to do, excuse me if this is a bit unconventional, hold on. I'm going to read us a bit of a poem, and then we're going to read the Bible because it's better, but just forgive me for a minute, and I'm going to read us a bit of a poem, and you'll know why when I get to the last line, so you have to stay with me to the end, so it's important that you focus. This is Tennyson. What a way to start. But here we go. So it's the new year. Morning, Steve. Now, you're going to forgive me this morning, right, because I haven't seen some of you for a couple of weeks. And I'm looking around the room, and I just want to say hello to everybody again. I haven't seen Steve for ages, and it's good just to be family. Right, listen to this. I might get through it. Ring out, wild bells to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light, the year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring happy bells across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind for those that here we see no more. Ring out the feud of rich and poor. Ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life. With sweeter manners, purer laws, ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes. Ring in the fuller, ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul dis-ease. Ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand wars of old. Ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be. Amen. It's wonderful to me. And ring in the Christ. And as we are here this morning, and we're kind of looking forward, as we, a lot of us kind of do at this time of year, what I want to do in thinking about that, ringing in our lives, and the Lord Jesus, and I want to kind of refocus and start, if I could put it like this, just at the beginning, in a really simple way, and put first things first. So as we attempt to do that, we're going to go to Genesis. And I'm going to read to us a little bit, a couple of verses, and we're just going to kind of hover here for a few moments. And this is right at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And some of the things that I want to kind of highlight for us as we get underway together, we've actually been singing about this morning, so that's always encouraging. So Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to jump in at verse 26. And I just read down a few verses. And it says this: "Then God said, let us." God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And we're just going to read down another couple of verses. God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And a well-known piece of scripture. And I just want to focus in here just for a few minutes to make this point for us. As we read down there, verse 26, I love this, simply says, God said, so you could say, in a way, if you come with me, you could look at it like this, God singular, God said, let us. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God said, let us make mankind in our image. And it is beautiful, I think, to notice immediately that within God himself, there is this loving context of relationship, of intimacy, of knowing of one another. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There is there unity, there is love, there is togetherness, if I could put it like this, there is community, there is family, there is all these things that originate in God because of who he is. So God said, let us. And there's this perfect agreement, if you like, coming out from God. Let us make mankind in our likeness, in our image. And there's lots of things that we could say about that. But I want to pull something out for us this morning that's kind of got my attention and is part of who we are. So God said, let us. And he, when he created mankind, and obviously, again, we know the story. We're not going to go into it so much this morning, other than to just make this point. When God made mankind, it says later, as we read there, he made, as he sought to express himself, his likeness, his image, and he made male and female. Immediately, we've got relationship right there. This is the simple point that I'm trying to make. That from God and within himself, context of loving relationship. And when God decided in his togetherness that he would make mankind after his likeness and after his image, he made male and female as an expression of himself. Is this making sense? And I love it because immediately there is togetherness, there is relationship, there is a community of love. When God said, I'm going to, if you like, reproduce myself. And I'm going to begin with a loving relationship. And he makes male and female as he makes humankind, if I can put it like that. And it's beautiful to me. And it is a beautiful, wonderful thing. And this is part, if I can put it like this, of the self-expression of God. Loving relationship. Immediately. It's a part of who he is. And then, having done this, he says to Adam and Eve, Adam, mankind, and I saw this recently. You like this, Heidi, you ready? You might know this already. Referring to Eve, and it's like, Eve, life-giver. Life-giver, the mother of all life. It's wonderful, isn't it? What an introduction. It's my wife, life giver. Amazing. Anyway, side point. And God, when he made man, and he made them male and female, and then he said to them, and spoke into their relationship, if you like, into the context of love and intimacy. And he said, next thing, immediately, next thing, what I want you to do now is go forward and multiply. If I could put it like this, as the ongoing self-expression of God, this reproduction, if you like, so I want you to extend my family. Community. There is community in God. There is fellowship in God. And part of the expression of God immediately was a context of loving relationship and community. And then he begins from this point, it seems to me, to continue to extend his family. And we were singing about this earlier. We really are children of God. And he continues to extend his family. And he continues to make himself known to us as our Father. And so it grows. And part of the likeness in the image of God, as we are in some way expression of himself, is a collective, a relationship. To be human is to be in need of relationship. Would you agree? Without it, we don't continue, do we, as a species? To be human is to need relationship. And this is deliberate and intentional on the part of God. It's beautiful. We are, it seems to me, incomplete in isolation. We are. Naturally, I'm like a right introvert. So it's like, I could tend to isolation, but I've discovered that to be human is to need relationship, is to be in relationship, first with him. And that enables me to then be in right relationship with others. And he begins to build, and he builds family, and he builds community. And I think it's wonderful. And as part of the, what people refer to as the Imago Dei, the image of God, as part of that, he made, and this is my simple point, he made two, not one. Right there. Relationship, together. And the very next thing was to produce fruit from their togetherness, from their union, from their intimacy, and to multiply. In essence, God said, grow and enlarge the family. And then we see, as this continues, and there's big sweeps this, but all the way through the Old Testament, God's people grew as family groups. And they end up being called tribes. But you find it all the way through. And they existed as communities, and the needs of society were met in community. Relationship. One with another. And there's all kinds of things that God built in to his children, into his people, into their families, into their communities, that they would thrive, and if I could put it like this, to be happy and healthy in all kinds of ways. And he built it into them as a people group. And we see it. And God he built it in to do practical things like this within the context of community, of family, of relationships that goes back to himself and to his and to who he is as God. And he made provision, if I could put it like this. There's all kinds of things. But he built it in to our togetherness, look after widows and orphans. Built it in to community. He said, welcome strangers. Have an attitude and a disposition of your togetherness that you welcome strangers into your midst. And then they're suddenly not strangers anymore. It's beautiful, isn't it? And God built these things in right from the beginning, and he's provide for the poor. Out of the context of community and relationship, you could provide for those who are less fortunate than yourself. And there's all kinds of things as you study through the Old Testament, and it's a lovely thing to me that you even find within it laws and guidance and advice to nurture the land, the physical planet. Like, look after it. Don't be cruel to animals. It's all there in the Old Testament. Administer justice. Worship God. Discover beauty. All of it. It's just like the enormity, if I could put it like this, the enormity of Christianity is all-encompassing in terms of our lives. Sometimes I think we can make it so very small, and it isn't. It's absolutely holistic and all-encompassing, and it impacts every single area of my outlook and my life, actually. It's wonderful. And all of these things and so many other things were all found within the context, if I could put it like this, of extended family. Of community. And I think the older I get, and I've walked through some stuff at this point, and it's some of it's been difficult and hard, and you know what I find more and more and more and more is I really think that God and his children, his people, the church, beautiful. Honestly, and I think we've hardly glimpsed it. He's really big. And it seems to me that our society, just in the West, in this country, our society, it's like it's the opposite so often. It seems to be increasingly individualistic, mechanistic, anti-human, isolated, even post-human. People talk in these terms, anti-God, and it's isolating people. It dehumanizes people because we were designed and intended and find purpose within community and relationships, don't we? We do. We do, and we want to grow in this way together. We do. I do. You know, recently, shock horror, I had to go on it's a little while ago, but it was a motorway awareness speeding course. And it was online, and listening to this instructor talking about helpful things, and then at one point in this process, and it really got my attention, he's obviously talking about cars, part of it, and he's talking about people. And what he did, just really naturally, just part of the conversation, he referred to both the car and the person as machines. It's like, oh, steady on there, fella. No. But this is an increasing mindset of our culture. And it's really unhelpful, I think. And we increasingly, it seems, in the West, live disconnected lives. And it's like, it isn't a great surprise to me that there are so many people struggling so much. It's not a surprise. We have built things in such a way that people are increasingly relationally isolated and disconnected. And it's core to who we are. And I feel like, no, man made in the image of God himself, born for relationship and connection and community. And so often we work online. We look for a life partner on websites. We're so often disconnected from nature, the seasons, from where our food comes from. We've gone global but know so little local. Loneliness is epidemic. You can even attend a virtual church if it was not a contradiction in terms. It's shocking, isn't it? I think it is. And it's like, I just feel like, guys, hold on a minute. God has provided right from the beginning all that we need in himself and in our common community together. And it's like, yeah, do we have a lot to grow in? Yes, we do, but that's all right. We just need to keep going in the right direction. And I think because of some of these things in society, the context of our modern world, I think underneath it must be, because we are human, hungry for Jesus. I do think that, because he is the only answer to the human condition and to connection and to relationship and to meaning and purpose. So here's the thing we're coming to. If this is true, I think it is. So often, not always, so often, the challenge of the church is a lack of Christianity. It is. And we might be looking a little bit at why that might be true. But so often, so often the challenge of the church is a lack of Christianity. And we try, and again, I'm going to mention a few things here, and I'm sure they've all got their place, but I want to home in on something for us, and we'll get there in a sec. But we try user-friendly as churches. Again, I'm not knocking it. We try user-friendly, we try missional communities, we try charismatic leaders, we try cutting-edge contemporary style, we try excellent performance, maybe signs and wonders or no signs and wonders, depending on your background. We try PhD biblical scholars. No, I'm not knocking any of it. But we can try all of these things. And 1 Corinthians 13 will tell us, you might have just missed the point. You really might. And this is what I want to, we're going to do it by looking in 1 John. But again, we think about togetherness, we think about God, we think about who he is, we think about how he has made us. And one of the things that I've wanted to do over the last little while, as I think about kind of going forward, and I think about church, and I think about people, and all of this, and you just think, Lord, what have you got for us? What's your heart for us? What matters to you? And I'm really simple. And I think we find it, first things first, here. 1 John chapter 3, and I'm just going to read this verse 11, and I'm going to jump and read another verse. And it just says this, and I love it, the simplicity. It says, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning. This is the message. If you want to know what the message is, if you want to know what the gospel is, if you want to know, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 23. I love it when the Lord Jesus, he just gives it to us really simple and straight. Do you want to know the answer? He says, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. It's two things. It's just like, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. Wow. And you just think, yes, I think it's true that the world around us is hungry to see Christianity. And it's a right challenge to me. I think that the world around us is hungry to see a community of people who love one another over the long term. We're right fickle these days, and we just pop in and out as we fancy. And we think, oh, that looks nice over there. I'll go and have a go at that. But one of the things that God does when he sheds his love abroad in our hearts is he gives us a love for one another that can survive life. He can. And I look at it and I just think, yes, Jesus, yes. This is what you have for us, for your children. And he says, we know this, in John chapter 13, says, people will know you are mine if you have a love for one another. If you love each other. And I think it's true that the local church, as an expression of the Lord Jesus, when men and women, just in simplicity and honesty, love one another in this way, I think it's really attractive to anybody. I do. I think it's irresistible. When the love of God is expressed between actual human beings, it's wonderful. And I think the world's crying out for it. And God is still building, it seems to me, a relational community of love. Himself. He is. He is. And it's like, come on. It is who he is. And when we love him, we find this, you can read further in 1 John. But when we love him, we love one another. It's like they go together inseparably. It's not like that, it is that. When we love God, we love one another. It's like linked, inextricably. You can't do anything about it. It's just like, I love my brother Steve. He lives in Scotland now, which I'm getting over, but I love my brother Steve. And it's like, I don't try to, I can't help it. And it's like, it's not necessarily because Steve is a wonderful chap, although he is, but it's just like, when God has put his love in your heart, it's like, you will love other people. You just will. So it's inextricably linked that when I love God, I will love you. And when you love God, you will love me. That's got to be good. And it is. Because it survives life. And that we need God in this way. Wonderful. There is a direct relationship here. One implies the other. And it seems to me that what the world needs, what the church needs, what people need is simply this, to believe into Jesus and to love one another. And honestly, I think it's enough. I also think it might be quite rare. Maybe. But I think it's enough when we find this. Why? Because the implications and the consequences are completely far-reaching. They encompass every other area of life. It's like the place from which you move. So it impacts everything. So it's like, what's the vision? Oh, we're going to love Jesus, believe in him. Consequently, we will love one another. And that will mean something in flesh and blood, on the planet, real time, day to day, when I'm really annoying. And you'll love me anyway. It's true. It's true. Love one another. Love, the love of God in your heart, love, agape love, love reaches out, doesn't it? You can't help it. Love reaches out to others. Love doesn't keep a list. Love doesn't. People do sometimes. Have you ever been in one of those conversations and you realise things might have become a bit tense with somebody over a period of time and you're scratching your head and you're not sure, maybe it's just me, but like you end up in a conversation and it's like, well, you know, are we all right? What's going on? And sometimes the list comes out and it's like, a year ago, this you did this. 6 months ago, this happened. And then last week, do you know what you did? This. Then yesterday, this. And it's like the list comes out. Do you know, honestly, love hasn't got a list. It's absent. It's absent. I don't carry my list, Lord. Sometimes I might need to bring things to you and just leave them with you. But I'm not carrying a list in relation to those that you have given me love for. Don't carry lists. Love forgives quickly. We need this, don't we? We need to forgive one another. And love will make that really much easier for you. I know it's not always easy, but the love of God shed abroad in your heart will enable you to forgive other people. That's good, because it will be like a fresh start, and you'll be able to keep going with them over the long haul. And it's really honouring to God. It is, and it's wonderful. Love forgives quickly. Love shares what it has. Love is generous. This has got my attention a bit recently, because you and me, as people, we need the generosity of other people. And I don't mean money. I mean, when you've had a bad day, it's like, I'm just going to be generous to you. It's like, it's all right, I get it. I can see what's happened. I'm not going to hold it over you. I'm not going to beat you with it. I'm not going to give you a really handy scripture to admonish you. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to gift you generosity. Love. Is this attractive? Thank you, Johnny. It is. We need this from one another. When Matt runs out of time, you can just love me. So, love opts in and not out. It does. It's like a choice. And sometimes you're in a community of people and you think, yeah, it's all right. But that bit there, it's not great, is it? And it's like, what are you going to do? Opt out? No. Opt in. Why? Because God has put his love in your heart. And so you can opt in, and you can love, and you can give, and you can support, and you can pray, and you can equip, and you can enable. You can opt in. Love will do it. It will enable you to do it. And love is kind. Kindness is massive, isn't it? We all need kindness. Whenever I think of this, sorry, Steve, we're getting a lot of airtime. Steve, some time ago, he knew something was going on and he was kind to me. Still makes me cry. Kindness is massive. Why? Love. We can be kind to one another. Love in action. Love puts up with stuff. It does. We could call it long suffering. But love puts up with stuff. When somebody's like awkward and difficult, or maybe you've got a bit of a personality clash with somebody, like it happens. But it's like love for that one. It'll take you a really long way. It'll take you a really long way. And this is what we need. And love builds togetherness. This is the point, isn't it? That love builds and maintains togetherness. And God in himself, there is togetherness in love. But he has togetherness in love for his children as part of his family, for you and me. And very genuinely, as I kind of look forward into this year together, I really do think in this sense, knowing that God is love, that we will continue to go with God. Honestly, it matters. It matters, and it matters for you and me within the context of community. But if I can suggest maybe even more than that, it matters because this in action is an expression of God himself on the planet. And when people see it in action in the normality of our lives, I think People are hungry for it. I think it's attractive. I think it's beautiful. I think it's what God has for us. And honestly, I think if we really suck at everything else, honestly, it's like, here's an opportunity for beauty. Really. An opportunity for beauty. And it's like the Bible tells us everything else is secondary to this. Everything. So I think, oh, all right. Let's focus in here. And just continue to receive freshly the love of God into my own heart, into my own life. And when things are tricky and difficult and stuff happens, what's my default position? Where do I go? And it's like, Jesus, I need your love in my heart. Without your love in my heart, I can't do this Christian thing. I mean, that's the bottom line. And this is why I say so often the challenge for the church is a lack of Christianity. And we could put it like this. It's a lack of Jesus. It's a lack of love for one another. And it's like he has something so rich and so beautiful and so releasing for us. Not just as individuals, but in and because of our togetherness. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just pray for us and we'll finish.